Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is a responsive day for the 21st of Iyar. And today we're going to see a responsive of the Tzitzili Ezer on Yeush. Before we get there, I want to make sure to remember to thank the OU for placing these shiurim on their website, and to Rabbi Jacob Bromowitz for organizing this whole program, to David Hochhauser for all the work that he does in putting this all together. I also want to, by way of introduction, point out that concepts like Yeush, which we'll talk about in this responsive of Tzitzili Ezer from the third volume, Chelek Gimel, Siman Chav Chet, responsive number 28, are underlying financial concepts that come up in several different halachic contexts, so that this tshuva is not about a specific halachic question, but it is about a broad issue that comes up in many monetary cases. The question of Yeush is where the owner of an item despairs of getting it back. It's in some way lost, it could be stolen, could be lost, and the owner despairs of getting it back. So that's what Yeush is. The question is, what does Yeush do? So, for example, the discussion in the Gemara that in some cases, if you have a Yeush and a Shinui Reshut, so that helps thieves to some extent. Let's suppose a man steals, as he shouldn't, but he steals an item from somebody else, and then he gives it to somebody else, or he sells it to somebody else. So that third party is now Kone the item, he gets the object with the Yeush and a Shinui Reshut. So that means that if the original owner finds him, he doesn't have to give back the actual item. Now, the question of what happens with payment if you catch the thief, so the thief would have to pay it back and the owner would get compensated, but the question of ownership of the item is now changed. So, and that starts with Yeush. It starts in that particular instance. It starts with that despair, that the owner having despaired of being able to get it back, of owning it. So while it's clear that Yeush in combination with other things can lead to somebody else being able to acquire ownership, the question that this tshuva is going to discuss is what happens when there's just Yeush and what is its function? And I note again that this becomes important for issues of ownership and of establishing ownership, because there are times in halacha when the ownership of an item will be counterintuitive, will go in a way that we wouldn't intuitively think of it as going, and that'll be different, and it'll be different and separate from financial obligations. So the Yeush and Shinui Reshut example that I gave, that I just came up with, is a perfect example, that the person who bought the item will be allowed, I'm not saying he should keep it, but he will be allowed to keep it in halacha, because he has now fully acquired it, because the Yeush, the despair of the original owner, did something to weaken that owner's connection to it. It might have severed his connection to it completely, but at least it weakens it. And then the Shinui Reshut, the change from the thief to this person, finalizes the moving of the object from one person's ownership to the other. Along the way, we'll find other important halakha concepts that relate to the question of ownership and how we do and don't establish ownership in halakha. So, this is from the 21st of Iyar of Tafresh Tzadi Zayin. Tafresh Tzadi Zayin was 1937, so this was about 21, 22 years old. And he had published a book as a very young man. Before he published a volume of Tzitzili Ezer, he published a book called Divrei Eliezer. And Divrei Eliezer were Chidushei Torah, were just Torah ideas that he was discussing. They weren't responsa, they were taking up Torah topics. And a man who's Aryeh Benesovsky, who I don't know, and I looked up, I don't think I haven't ever heard of, and he doesn't seem to be any kind of important rabbi, he doesn't get any of the usual honorifics of rabbanim, but it's a guy, and he wrote the Tzitzili Ezer letter about some of his comments in Divrei Eliezer, to which Tzitzili Ezer is choosing to respond here. He appreciates the letter, and he appreciates all the thoughts, and that it's well written, and all that. So I'm leaving that part out. So now he's responding. This Aryeh Benesovsky had said that, had noted that the Tzitzili Ezer in his book, the Divrei Eliezer, and Dvar Eliezer, sorry, had argued that there's a rush in the second chapter of Bava Metzia and Siman Dalet, which disagrees with the Ktsot and the Netivot. So the Ktsot and Netivot are Achronim. They come much later. So you can find a Rosh that disagrees with them. What you're saying is, it doesn't mean they're wrong, but it does mean that it'll create a greater burden of proof on them to show why I think they're right. Meaning, if we only have one opinion of Rishonim on a topic, whatever the topic is, and that's the only person we can find, and then Achronim come along and they say, we think X and Y and Z is true, and they didn't know that Rishon. So the finding of that Rishon will create an added burden of proof on them to say, either, no, we think other Rishonim disagree, and we can show you why, and here's why. So yes, you're right. Let's say Rush held that way, but when we wrote what we wrote, we were holding like other Rishonim, or they'd have to say why they think that in this case, even though the Rush wrote that, they think something else. That's a complicated thing. So it would, if he's right, that this is right, that Rush disagreed with them, that creates problems for the Ktsos and the Tzivos. So what did the Ktsos and the Tzivos hold? The Ktsos and the Tzivos had held that Yeush doesn't mean that the owner doesn't own it anymore until somebody else takes possession of it. That's an interesting question. That's the interesting question that we're going to be dealing with most of the time here. That's what the Netivot had held. Meaning, I lose a wallet, and I lose it in a way that I'm pretty sure I'm not going to get it back, right? You know, I drop it in Grand Central Station. I drop it off of a boat, and the boat has moved to, you know, 5 miles on, and it's in the Atlantic Ocean. I'm pretty sure I'm never getting it back. So I actually once lost a wallet where I was pretty sure I was never getting it back. I dropped it in Queens somewhere, and I actually had zero money in the wallet, and a woman contacted me. She found the wallet, and she wanted to give it back to me, but she was nervous, and she says to me, but there was no money in it. She was nervous because she clearly was worried that I would say, no, that I would think I had money in there and accuse her of stealing the money, whereas I was relieved not to have to go and get my license again and cancel my credit cards and whatever it was. So That was really an example of Yeush. So the question is, when she finds it, is it mine still in any way? So I've had Yeush already. So she wasn't Jewish, so I don't think she cared about this stuff. But that's the question here. So the Ksot and the Tzivot, and then the Tzivot, or the Ksot and the Tzivot, as they would easily would have said, held that once there's Yeush, it doesn't mean it's not mine anymore. Once there's Yeush, so then there's the possibility. So in terms of lost objects, if somebody finds a lost object, there we hold that Yeush alone is enough that the person who finds the object is now, because then it's like a Yeush and a Shinui Rishut, the person that finds the object picks it up and takes possession of it, that means it's there. So if I lose an object, and it could be a wallet. So this is an interesting halakhic thing. I lose an object that has good signs on it. So theoretically, I thought that I could get it back, but I lose it in such a way that I have Yeush. I really think I'm never going to get it again. And after that, somebody finds it. So the halakha really is they're not required to give it back to me because that's what Yeush is. Yeush at least weakens the ownership connection. So the Ksos and the Tzivos held that while it may weaken it, it doesn't sever those connections until somebody else finds it. Why would that be relevant? One example that will come up later in the Tshuva, I can mention it now. Let's say I lost some chametz, right, before Pesach, and then I had Yeush of ever finding it again. So now, do I need to do something about that chametz when Pesach comes? So if you say that Yeush means I really don't own it anymore, maybe the other person doesn't own it either, but I really don't own it anymore, so then we would think you would say that I'm done, and I don't have to worry about that in my bitul chametz, in my nullification of chametz, or in my selling of chametz, or any of that things. Whereas if you think that I still have some connection to it, then it's still mine unless somebody else takes control of it. So the man running the Tzitzit had written that also he suggested that if you say that the owner's ownership rights have sort of been have been severed by the Yeush, but there's just an idea that he still has the din balim. He has various halachos, so we're not going to get into all the ways in which that could apply here because we don't have so much time. But we're going to apply to this man, to this owner or woman, whoever originally on the object, a din ba'alim, they have the status still of owner, even though many of their rights over it have gone away. Many of their actual abilities to do anything with that have gone away because they don't have any control over it. They don't have any ability to access it. But maybe that's enough, he suggests, that you also have no din of what's called the Chezkat Marakama. So we'll see in the course of the Tshuva how a Chezkat Marakama. Chezkat Marakama means that you have the status of being the original owner and that affects any claims you make to it later, I think, is where it's going to come up. So it says that's not true because it could be that as long as you have the din ba'alim, as long as we say you're still the owner, officially the owner, even if you have no control over it, that may be enough for you to qualify as Chezkat Marakama, and in fact, you're not going to get into it much more. But then he relates it to another machlok, and he says the Nesivos relates the question of Yeush to a Machloket Nedarim, which gives us an insight into another issue that comes up, where there's a Gemara Nedarim that says the debate between Rabbi Yossi, a disagreement between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan. Rabbi Yossi held that Hefker is like a gift, that a gift doesn't really fully take effect until it comes into the hands of somebody else, so too Hefker doesn't take full effect until it comes into the hands of somebody else. And that's an interesting question also. Hefker, let's remember, Hefker is where an owner, Yeush is where the owner has lost control of it, doesn't know where it is, or knows where it is, but doesn't think he has any ability to get it back. Let's say another way is, you know, if a wicked government expropriates property and you have Yeush, so that's Yeush. So the question is, what's the halakhic status of that property? And that becomes important for things like, let's say another Jew is going to come along and buy it from, you know, let's say Cuba nationalizes all of the private property in this, and there's a Cuban Jew, and he has Yeush because the Cuban government's too strong for him. What is the status of a later Jew coming along if he can convince the government to sell him that property? Is that property really still belong to the original guy who had Yeush or not? So those are Yeush kinds of issues. Hefker is not so different, except that in Hefker, it's not that the person despairs of it because of things that happened to it. It's the person just decides he doesn't want it anymore. So he comes out, you know, when you put a piece of furniture out on the street and you say, you don't say it out loud, but everybody knows what you mean is, I don't want this furniture anymore, I'm hoping the garbage people come pick it up. That's an act of being mafkir or something. You're saying it's not. I don't want it to be mine anymore. So the question is, what is its halakhic status now? You've declared it my hefker. So Rabbi Yossi held that hefker is like a gift, and that means that until the gift it reaches the person who's going to become the new owner of it, it still belongs to the old owner. So Rav Yossi seems to hold that when I say something's hefker, and I mean it's not mine anymore, what I don't mean is I don't actually achieve it not being mine anymore. What I achieve is that I've declared that whoever wants to take it has the right to take it, but until they do, it continues to be mine. Whereas Rabbanan there in the Darim disagree, and they say that no, that when you declare something hefker, it's no longer yours right away. So the Nesivos HaMishpat said, that's only about hefker, because in hefker, the owner is declaring a desire to be divested of the item, and that's why the item no longer belongs to the owner right away. But when it comes to Yeush, this is what the Nesivos HaMishpat had said, when it comes to Yeush, even Rabbanan would agree, they wouldn't, that it's more like a gift, in that it doesn't leave the possession, the official possession of the owner. Now, the Kinyanim part, so Kinyanim is things like, let's say, Kinyanim is rights you have over an item. So let's say, can I declare an item to be Hekdesh? So declaring an item Hekdesh means nobody's allowed to use it because it belongs to the Beit HaMikdash. So let's suppose I lose my wallet, and I'm worried that people will take it and will take the money inside of it. And therefore, I say, you know what? I might as well get a mitzvah out of it. I'll donate the wallet to Hekdesh. I'll donate the wallet to the Beit HaMikdash. And I say, my wallet is Hekdesh. And so that would mean anybody finds it can't have it. So now I haven't had Yeush, I've declared Hekdesh. So the problem with that is that since I don't have control over it anymore, I don't know where it is, and I can't do anything with it, it's not clear that I'm not able to do that. So Yeush is a status where I don't have a kinyanim on something, right? And I'm miyayish because I don't have any access to it. But I might still have din baalim. If I might still have din baalim, that's the question. So the Tzivos is saying it's like a gift. When I have Yeush, it's halakhically parallel to giving a gift in that it's mine until such time as the recipient gets it. In Yeush, there's no defined recipient. The recipient is whoever picks it up and takes it. But that's its halakhic mechanics. It's the suggestion on the Sivas HaMishpat that the Tzedezer is explaining. Now the Tzedezer takes that one step further and he points out there's Yerushalmi in the Dharm on that debate of Rabbi Yossi and Rabbanan where they were trying to understand Rabbi Yossi's perspective, where Rabbi Yossi said it's like a gift, and what they say is, when you have hefker, according to Rabbi Yossi, it's still chayev in ma'asrot. It's still obligated, the owner would still have to give ma'asir from it, because it's still his to a certain extent. And then the Gemara goes on and says, nope, we have another tradition about this hefker, according to Rabbi Yossi, that it's not chayev in ma'asir. Why is it not chayev in ma'asir? So Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Yanai points out a pasuk that says Ubaha Levi, that the Levi will come and take from you a tenth of the crop. So the Gemara says in the Yerushalmi, Mashi Yesh Lecha Ve'ein Lo Chayav Atalitein Lo. It's the Maaser has to be given from produce that belongs to the homeowner, the person has, that the Levi doesn't have. But Hefger, whatever the halakhic status in terms of ownership is, it's still very clear that the Levi has equal rights to the Hefger as anybody else does. So if that's true, there's no reason why there has to be a gift, a tithe, given to the Levi, because it's not material that the Levi has any less of a right to. And the Gemara goes on and says, he leket, he shika, he pays. That's true, just like it's also true of matnot anim, of the parts of the harvest that we're supposed to leave aside for the poor, whether there's an area that there's some grains that we forgot, there's a corner of the field that we're required to leave, there's stuff that as it was being gathered it dropped. All those kinds of things are hefker in the sense that they don't belong to the owner, is not allowed to take them back, they don't belong to the owner, and therefore It's not something that's obligated in Maaser because the Levi has just as much rights to it as anybody else does if the Levi came along and were to glean or gather those matnot aniyim. The Ritva's there, says the Mesitta Eliezer, reasons from that let's suppose somebody gave a gift to the entire world, which is not the same thing as Hefker, right? That's not, Hefker is not that you say, I'm giving it as a gift, you say, I don't want it anymore. But let's say instead you said, I'm donating it as a gift to the public. It is there for, I am making a gift of it to whoever wants to take it. Ritva's reasons from this Yerushalmi that those fruits, if you did that, anybody who did that with fruit or with produce, that produce would also be patur mina ma'asrot because the Levi has equal rights to it. So since the Ezra says, what you see from that Yerushalmi is that in our reasoning, in the Gemara's understanding of Rabbi Yossi's reasoning, it's very similar to a matana lakol. So if that's true, then it should be true of Yeush according to everybody for the Ksos and Tzivos HaMishpat. That's what's going on. It's like a matana lakol, and that's what they're claiming. And if that's true, the rush, which doesn't come up in this tshuva, therefore we're not going to track it down, but the rush that's in question would be a proof against it. That's Caesar's claim. And then he says, I've got another proof actually against their claim, that Yeush doesn't stop belonging to the owner until somebody else takes possession of it. Right? Because that would then mean that let's suppose the Yeush ended before somebody else took possession of it. We're going to give an example in a second. But what would that mean? So the examples I've always been using for Yeush are where you lose something. So let's suppose you lose something, right? Or you think you've lost something, or as far as you know you've lost something. So you had Yeush, and nobody finds it or takes possession of it, and then you find it again. Right? So when you find it, so let's suppose I'm in a public area, I drop my wallet on a large cruise ship, let's say. There's thousands of people wandering around. I dropped it, and I have no reason to think I'm ever going to find it back. It has no real identifying materials, and I'm pretty positive that it's gone and it's lost, and I have Yeush. Day later, I'm wandering around in the third deck pool, and there's nobody else there, and I'm wandering around, and I see my wallet from 20 feet away. So now, what's the halachic status of that wallet? Is it still mine? So that would be what the Nesivos and the Ksos seem to be saying. I'm still bialim of it because nobody else took possession of it, and therefore it's just mine already. So if it's mine already, I no longer have Yeush. The Yeush is gone now. Let's suppose another Jew pops in, happens to pop in, sees the wallet, picks it up, and I say to him, hey, that's my wallet. So now, theoretically, he should just say, okay. And he'd give it back because he knew it was once my wallet. But let's suppose he wants to push the halachic envelope on this question. He really likes the wallet, or the wallet has, you know, my last $10 million in it. So he wants to push the envelope and keep the wallet. He says, No, I bet. How long has this wallet been? He says to me, how long has the wallet been there? I said, I think it's been there, 48 hours. And it's astounding to me that it's still there, that nobody found, that nobody took it. He says, and you probably had Yeush. And I say, yeah, I did, until I saw it again. He says, sorry, once you had Yeush, it wasn't yours anymore, and now I'm coming, and I took it, and it's mine. So who's right? So the Tzitzit Eliezer points out that according to the Ksos and the Sivos, who say that Yeush doesn't completely sever the relationship, there's still a din balim on the owner until such time as somebody else takes possession of it. It shouldn't be true that I have to do anything to take it back. I had Yeush for a while. I stopped having Yeush. Once I stopped having Yeush, my din balim never went away, and therefore it's mine. That's what theoretically should be true. But this says, I have a Gemara that shows that it's not true. This is Yerushalmi in Yevamos, and I want you to point out, just as a reminder, it's maybe a reminder to me more than to you, but I think it's a reminder, an important reminder, that Tzitz Eliezer is writing this as a 21 or 22-year-old man, and he seems to be fully in control, not just of the Bavli, but of at least many Yerushalmis as well. And it's a reminder of that when we try to say, I know how to reason as well as this person, or I know how to figure out halachic issues as this person, I'm not convinced by his reasoning, it's important to remember the level of knowledge that goes into these kinds of discussions. It's not a complete answer. Just because somebody knows more doesn't mean they're always right. I think that's true too. But I think it's important to approach these kinds of topics with the respect for the realization of the level of knowledge that these people build up before they ever got around to writing these tshuvot. So, Yerushalmi Yevamos talks about the following cases. A braita of a ger who passes away.
So ger passes away.
A ger is a convert. So let's say a man or a woman converts, and they, as far as we know, don't have a family. They don't have a family, it means that halachically they really don't have relatives. So they don't have halachic relatives. So if they had possessions, so those don't belong to anybody. So the answer is, so with nixi hager, if a ger really passes away, sadly, never developed a family, so it doesn't belong to anybody, it's sort of hefker, anybody can come and take it. So that's what happened. A lot of Jews came along, and they took possession of his property, and then word got out that he had a son, b'medinat hayam, right? That he had a child in... It's, you know, a faraway place. He already had a child, a Jewish child, or that his wife there, he had a wife there who was pregnant. So we said, the Gemara says, Hakol chayavim lahatzir. Everybody has to return what they had taken. And they do. So in other words, Joe Gare passes away. Everybody comes to his house. They have a big, you know, garage sale, although not a sale, a garage taking possession of, and they all take, you know, the TV and the Sfarim and the whatever they take and the Fabergé eggs and all the possessions and the cooking and the cookware and the Armitage. They all take all of that stuff. And then the word gets out he has a child, he has a son, or his wife is pregnant with a son. So they all give it back. And then the son dies. Okay? The son dies without children, or the wife miscarries, and the wife doesn't get an inheritance in halacha in general. In general, the assumption halacha was, it could change today, and it could be great halachic wills to get around these issues, but the general assumption halacha was the payoff, you pay off the ketubah, and the payoff of the ketubah was instead of whatever inheritance you should have gotten. And that was in the time, in the Gemara's time, you would have written a real ketubah that laid out all of these financial obligations in a very significant way that would give her a meaningful settlement from the marriage. So, topic of its own. So, in any case, she miscarries. So, now, the Braita says, Kol HaKodem Zacha, whoever comes back now again and takes it, whoever takes it first, they get it. So, I heard the ger died without children, and that's the news that I had. I ran into the house, I grabbed 15 Fabergé eggs, I don't even know if there are 15, I grabbed, you know, property worth lots and lots of money, and I took it to my house. Halachically, that's fine, because the ger had no descendants. Then I hear, nope, the ger had a son. So I say, oh, my bad. I go back to the house, and I return all the property, right, and I put it all back. Then we hear the son died. So the Gemara says, now it's and I was away that day. I didn't hear the son die. You know, I didn't hear that the son died. And by the time I get back, all the stuff that I took the first time had already been taken. So the Gemara says, whoever took it the second time are the ones who own it. The ones who took it the first time don't get it. So the question there in the Gemara is, why did the first ones get it? Hare af l'shmuel d'amar zachin l'ubarin. First of all, if it was a baby, so there's a whole discussion about when babies, when fetuses are in or take possession of their inherit their bequeathers' possessions, right? Meaning the baby inside the mother's womb is not a person halakhically in that sense of fully taking possession of it, fully inheriting it. It might be they're not allowed to take it yet because it's going to belong to them, but they don't fully have it. But when they come out, that's when you would think. So if she has a miscarriage, then he never really fully got it. So if he never really fully got it, why can't it be that the people who, right, we heard that there's a baby, we returned it because the baby was going to take possession, but the baby never took possession of it, then it should be ours. So why did, am I right to all the property of this deceased converts that I took possession of go away? It shouldn't have gone away because there was a miscarriage. So there, and the Gemara Yisrael Rebbe Elazar says, the Mishum Yeush Nagu, that it's a question of Yeush. What's the question of Yeush? That when I and all those who took possession of the of this deceased convert's property after, right after he'd been, right, let's hope the Shiva, they waited out the Shiva, but those who took possession afterwards, when they heard that the wife is pregnant, they had Yeush. They despaired because they assumed, since most pregnancies, thank God, produce a healthy baby, they assumed that healthy baby would be the heir to this deceased convert, and therefore they despaired. They gave up. They had Yeush over this property they take possession of, and therefore, when she sadly miscarried, then it's not their property anymore. It's whoever takes possession of it the second time around. And the first ones, if they wanted to get it back, they'd have to go and do another kinyan. So that's what the Yerushalmi, the Korban Eidah there says, Look at the Korban Eidah. This is now the reasoning of the tradition. Says, if you told me that Yeush doesn't take it fully, as the Ksos and the Stevens were claiming, doesn't take it fully out of the possession of the first people, so even though they have Yeush, but the Yeush stopped before the second people came along, meaning, let's say I hear that the baby has miscarried, but I don't do anything about it because I'm away. I hear the news, but I'm not in a position to retake possession of all those Fabergé eggs or all those, you know, million-dollar cars that I had originally taken. I'm not in a position to go back and get them. But if the Ksos and Stevens are right, I shouldn't have to. Why shouldn't I have to? Because my rights as an owner never went away until somebody else took them. But before somebody else took them, my Yeush went away. So therefore, it should be that I have the right to have them, and the people who came later shouldn't get them. So that Yerushalmi suggests that Tzitzil Yezer seems to contradict the perspective of the Ksos and the Nesivos. It seems like, in other words, that Yeush completely severs the ties from the original owner, unless the original owner comes back and takes possession. Unless, he says, if you want to stay with the Nesivos, you could say that the later ones came along before the first ones heard about it, right? That I was away, and I didn't even hear that the baby, that there had been a miscarriage. Therefore, I didn't have a way to reassert or to cease my Yeush. So when they came along, they would, in other words, it would be like, let's say I'm back on the ship with that wallet case, and I'm walking across the pool floor, and I see a guy bend down and pick up a wallet, and it turns out it's my wallet, but I had Yeush, so maybe that's what it would be. Since my Yeush never ended, the person found the wallet before the Yeush. Now again, in all of these situations, there's plenty of room for people to say, do the right, do the nice thing, even if though it's not the technical halakhic requirement. That's a whole discussion of its own. It's not always true that just because halakha applies a certain financial right to some person, that that's the best way for us to act, that we should insist on all of our financial rights. That's a discussion of its own. That's not our discussion here. Our discussion here is the question of Yeush, so that's what the decision is saying. Maybe, although he doesn't like it, because the Yerushalmi then I think should have said it, but that would be a way that the Ksos and the Sivas could read it. They could say, no, when we say that the second group of people who take possession of the deceased convert's property are the ones who get the right to it, and the first ones, even though they had taken possession and then given it up because they thought there was going to be a baby, so that when we say it's their tough luck, that's only if the Yeush had continued all the way through. But if the Yeush in fact had gone away beforehand, maybe the Ksos and the Sivas would agree. Another situation where the question of ownership is important is, let's suppose one person is mudar hana'ah from another person. This doesn't, I hope, come up so much today. At the time of the Mishnah, time of the Gemara, it seems that people, if they got angry with each other or there was some tension between them, they would declare the other person mudar hana'ah from them. They say, you can't get any benefit from me. So for me includes my possessions. So let's suppose I, you know, was rash enough and angry enough at somebody that I did that, then there's an item that I had Yeush over. What's that situation? So the person writing to the Ezer had said, the Achronim raises a question about this rush that he brought from the Darim, and they say that Nehi Dehavei Adayin Shel Baalim, maybe it's true that it belongs to the Baalim until somebody else takes possession of it. Let's say the Ksos and the Sivos are right about that. It does belong to the owner still, but then it's a problem because I think what the Rush ended up saying was that if you have Yeush for something, then somebody else who's mudar hana'ah from you can get benefit from it. So you think they can't get benefit from it because they're a mudar hana'ah. They're not allowed to get benefit by virtue of that neder, by virtue of that vow or oath. So if you see that they're allowed to, that would strongly imply that it no longer belongs to their owner. And we're talking about where they didn't take possession of it. However that would happen, because if they take possession of it, you can say that's what did it. But let's suppose I'm not going to take possession of it. I'm just going to get benefit from it, however that would work. So how can I do that? Doesn't it belong to the original owner? So if I can get benefit, that implies that it doesn't belong to the original owner. So some said, no, maybe it belongs to the original owner, but since the original owner no longer has any ability to stop somebody else from taking ownership of it, so therefore, if somebody in between gets hana, gets benefit from it, that's not considered getting benefit from the original owner, because even though it officially belongs to that original owner, they don't really have all those full rights to it, and therefore, that's it. So there's a Chevel Yaakov on the Rambam who says that that's true. He said it in a different context about a hefker. That, and let's say in a hefker situation, so there are those who hold the baby hefker also doesn't completely stop belonging to the original owner. So if you leave something as hefker and then somebody comes along and gets benefit from it, But it's still, isn't it still the money of the original person? We say, no, since he can't stop other people from taking possession of it, even though it might still right now be. So the guy doesn't actually make it hefker in the sense of it's no longer mine. He says, whoever wants to take possession of it can take possession of it. So maybe that's enough that it's not considered getting benefit from the original owner because the original owner couldn't stop anybody else from getting benefit. Maybe that's good enough. Except so that it's just not good enough here because we said that the Tzitzos and the Tzivos treat it more like a gift to the entire world. Well, if it's they treat Yeh, which is a gift to the entire world, they treat Yeh, which is a gift to the entire world, then if somebody gets benefit from it, they're taking benefit of a gift from that original person, and that should be a problem. There's a couple more ramifications of the discussion that I'm not going to get into here just because we're running out of time, and there are just other examples of this question. They don't shed so much light on the issue. It comes up in questions of Hefker, like we said. It comes up in the question of Matan or Aniyim, of who owns the gifts to the poor. The Torah requires an owner of a field to give during the course of a harvest. Who owns them until the poor take possession of them? Who owns Shavit until other people, if the owner doesn't do what he's halakhically required to do, what he's biblically required to do, and make them Hefker, who counts as the owner of that, and a couple of other examples of these kinds of situations, these kinds of questions that all revolve around this thing. But the fundamental question was the debate, the disagreement between the Tzitzit Eliezer and the Tzitzit and the Tzivos. The Tzitzit Eliezer based himself on a rush as to who owns something that where there has been Yeush, where the Tzitzit and the Tzivos say that after Yeush, the owner is still the owner until somebody else takes possession of it. It's more like a gift that's been given to the world, but is not fully a gift until the recipient becomes a recipient, whereas the other seems to think there's a rush that thinks that no, that once one has Yeush, it is no, and there's also a Yerushalmi that we saw about the possessions of a convert who had no relatives, that once somebody has Yeush, it's really no longer theirs, even though it might not yet belong to somebody else as well. So some issues about monetary ownership and property and values that come up in halacha that we saw in the Tzitzit for the 21st of Iyar. With thanks to the OU, to Rabbi Jacob Bromwich, David Hochhauser, I bid you a good day.